morning. It's good to see everyone out today. And we enjoy coming into the house of the Lord. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we approach you now at this point in time in the service. We're asking God for your anointing, dear God, to be upon us, Lord, that we may be able to speak that which you've placed on our hearts, dear God, that would be a help to the people, Lord. You know our needs, dear God, and you know how to minister to them. And we ask, God, that you would just have your way in each part of the remaining of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to continue on with Love Projected and read from John chapter 3, verse 16, and also Romans 5 and 5, and I'll give you time to turn. John 3, 16, which we're all very familiar with. It seems like it's quoted everywhere. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's quoted abroad everywhere because it seems like people believe that God so loved the world that it doesn't matter how you live or what you do, when you die, you go to heaven. Because God just loves everybody. But we know the scriptures teaches us different than that. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You may be seated. In the Message of Love, 1958, Brother Branham says, God so loved you that he gave his Son, that you might be saved and filled with the Spirit and have his love projected in your heart by the Holy Ghost and make you love everybody. Then he goes on to say that Christians have their ups and downs the way they do. But you could be on the housetop no matter what condition you're in. You understand what he's saying? That even through your ups and downs, you don't got to have a long face. You don't got to get upset. You don't got to feel down when you're in the valley. That you can still be on the housetop if you're looking at things spiritually. Knowing that God supplies your needs whether you're on the mountain or whether you're in the valley. Paul says this, which I've read this before to the congregation, but Paul says this in Philippians 4, not that I speak with respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Therewith to be content, and that word content means in a state of peaceful happiness. That's something that Satan tries to rob us of, peaceful happiness. And sometimes it seems like it runs in families that they're against peaceful happiness. It seems like they can't be happy unless there's a big stir or fuss. That ain't just in the South. That's everywhere. That's everywhere. I've seen people that can't have more than one friend at a time. You know what I mean by that? Maybe this one's their friend today, but then if they choose this person to be their friend, then they're against that person. And sometimes their enemy can become their friend if they have a common enemy. In other words, they can't get along with each other other than the fact that they don't like you. Only thing they can agree in, we don't like him or her. That's not a state of peaceful happiness. Paul's saying I can be peaceful and happy no matter what's going on, no matter what situation I'm in, no matter how it is, no matter what anybody else says to me, no matter what anybody else is doing to me, whether they tell a lie on me or not, whether they treat me good or not, I can still be in a state of peaceful happiness. I've told you this, my dad often said, we need to have more thermostats than thermometers. Thermometers affected by the atmosphere that it's in. It goes up and down. But a thermostat can set the atmosphere. Amen? Don't be affected. Don't live by your emotions. That's what we have so much problems with, is we live by our emotions. Look, that's not a foreign thing to me. I can be an emotional person. I'm not saying don't get happy. I'm not saying don't praise the Lord. I'm saying do that no matter what's going on in life. It says about being what it means that whatsoever state I'm in there with to be content, it means to be self-sufficient through Christ. Satisfied to the point where I'm not disturbed or uneasy regardless of my circumstances. Regardless of what anybody else is doing around you. You know, sometimes, friends, it's not what other people are doing. It's us. It's us. Sometimes we've got, and you know, I try to be careful how I say things up here because I don't want to sound crass. But sometimes we've got little pet peeves that we shouldn't have. They're nonsense. We let things bother us that shouldn't bother us. Nonsense. You know the old saying, making a mountain out of a molehill? Your emotions will do that. Drama. I can't stand drama. Little children can be so dramatic. And you know, in a little child, you can laugh about it. You can contend with it. I mean, something don't go just right and they act like the world's ending. But when you get to be an adult and something don't go right and you act like, you know, you're in the depths of despair, that ain't funny no more. That's nonsense. Things ain't always going to be going smooth. God never promised us that. Brother Branham quotes that poem all the time. He never promised a flowery bed of ease. So even when things ain't so easy, even when they ain't so flowery, we can still be content. Knowing Christ is there to take care of us. In Brother Branham's life story, he spoke it in several different places, but this particular place was in Owensboro, Kentucky in 1953. Now, I said this, where it's at, I want you to keep in mind, it was in his life story. How many's ever heard Brother Branham's life story? Everybody, I'm sure. So listen to what he says here. When he's giving his life story here in Owensboro, Kentucky. You know, we don't enjoy the ups lest we have the downs. How many knows in his life story he had plenty of downs? You know, we don't enjoy the ups lest we have the downs. Did you realize we wouldn't have any mountains if we didn't have any valleys? You wouldn't appreciate the sun sign if there wasn't any night. And a person sometimes is very, very good health, Maybe they don't know how to appreciate it, lest they had a real sick spell sometime and almost died. Then they could appreciate their good health. So you have to have it. It's the law of contrast. So there's times when you go through when things ain't going quite so good, but it makes you appreciate when it is going good. It makes you appreciate it more because you know what it's like to not have it that way. Sometimes Paul says we're in need. He says, and I've learned how to be abased and how to be abound. Everywhere in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. It's a law of contrast. We need to learn to be content. Some people can't be content no matter where they're at. I'm beginning to wonder how they might act in heaven. Because some people ain't content even when things are going good. You know, I realize that I may be different in a lot of things. We're not all alike. We all have our differences. You know, some of it could be because of our backgrounds. Some of it could be inherited. You know, what I'm getting ready to tell you is not really an inherited thing for me as much as it may just be something I learned. Best I can pinpoint is probably because of being in the army, I don't get homesick. When I'm home, I'm content. I like it. But when I go away, I don't pine to be home. Now, not everybody's like that. But I'll tell you this, if you was in the army like I was and gone from home for 6 months at a time, and you pined for home the whole 6 months, you'd be one miserable individual. I believe it was three times in the time I was in the army, I was separated from my family for 6 months at a time. Three different occasions. Now, I love my wife, but I did not sit around and pine over it. Because I'd have just been a miserable individual because there wasn't one thing I could do about it. I signed my name on the line. I raised my right hand and swore in. I did all that, and nobody had forced me to do it. I did it on my own. You chose whatever vocation that you went into. Be content with what goes along with it. I've had people come to me and they're all upset because they work, they're in a, you know, a contracting business. Maybe they do drywall. Maybe they do, they are carpenters or whatever. You know that seasonal work. That's like mowing grass. Unless you live in a place where it's always sunshine and the grass is always growing, there's going to be a time you ain't going to have no work. Work's going to be down. So don't whine about it. Don't get upset about it. You chose it. It's your line. You raised your right hand, so to speak. You swore in. Deal with it. God can help the time pass. I'll tell you one thing. When I go on vacation, I go on vacation. I don't sit around and think, good Lord, how long is this vacation going to last? I'm usually thinking, good Lord, this vacation's almost over. I got to go back to the grind. I only get, y'all think I get more, but I really only get one vacation a year. When I go to Ohio, that's not a vacation, Brother Phil, you know that. I preach the entire time I'm up there. When I go to West Virginia, it's some good relaxing time, but I preach while I'm over there. Only time that I don't have to preach is when I go to the beach. I go anywhere else. When I go overseas, I don't go sightseeing. I might see some sights, but I'm preaching while I'm over there. I'm working every time I go somewhere, except when I really go on vacation. And when I really go on vacation, I don't sit around and pine, oh my goodness. No, because I believe I got a trusted individual here that's feeding you, and I don't have to worry about it. So I don't sit around and worry about it. Well, I wonder if they'll miss me. I wonder if they'll get used to me so much being gone that they won't want me back. No, I think you need a break sometimes as much as I do. Sometimes y'all might need a break from me, hearing me all the time. Do you some good. You know what they say? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Well, that's not all in my notes. Sometimes I tell my wife, oh, it ain't going to be long today. I ain't got that much. But then I go over things that's not in my notes. But it's like Brother Henry Green used to say, he said, I preach like an old hound dog. I follow the hottest scent. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Brother Branham says in the Message of Law, 1955, Chicago, Illinois, you can only love him as you love each other. I can only love him as I love you, and you can only love him as you love me, and together we love God. And we become his children in that I serve you and you serve me, and that we're, and in that we're serving God. Because Jesus said, in so much ye have done unto the least of these little ones, ye've done it unto me. So if we want a blessing, let's be a blessing. Y'all know I've read this quote before, a few times. And a blessing will return, like casting your bread upon the water and it'll return, and that's true. In all walks of life, you'll find that you can usually reap as you sow. So let's do good, talk good, be kind. And people talk about us, we'll say good things and kind things, and good things will come our way if we give them out. You can, you know, people say, I love God, and can't stand one another. Sometimes people can love people that they don't have a lot to do with. But ones they got every, you know, something to do with, seeming like day in, day out, or week in, week out, like, well, I have a hard time with that individual. You got, friends, look, we're going to the same place. You're not going to have your special little place up in heaven. You know, little kids, when you're going to sit at a table, and you got little kids always trying to pick their seat. I want to sit by that one. I want to sit by them. I don't want to sit by them. At the marriage supper of the Lamb, it ain't going to be like that. I don't know who you'll be sitting by, but you're not going to get to say, "Well, Lord, why'd you set me? I don't want to sit by them. My goodness, this is going to last 3.5 years. I'm going to have a good time sitting at the table for 3.5 years. I don't know about you. I'm usually sad when the meal's over. I've learned to eat so fast, I guess, from being in the Army. I try to slow myself down to where I can enjoy it and savor it. But I've just got a habit. You know, in the Army, you sit down to eat, you know, especially in boot camp, you wasn't supposed to be talking. You wasn't supposed to be looking around. You're supposed to be sitting at the position of attention, you know, and just eat. I came home for my first Christmas after boot camp, Brother Phil. We all sat down to Christmas supper, you know, and it got real quiet around the table, and after a little bit, I looked up from my food eating. I looked around, everybody was just staring at me because I was sitting in a position of attention, and I was just eating. I wasn't saying nothing to anybody because that's what they trained us to do. But I, especially when I go, I don't know, friends, look, I like when I go to eat seafood. I love seafood. And one of my favorite pastimes when I go on vacation is eating. I like to go out to eat. I don't want my wife cooking me meatloaf while I'm down at the beach. I can have meatloaf at home. I don't want no fish out of the freezer. I can get that at home. You know what I'm talking about? I don't want no frozen fish sticks. I don't even eat that at home. I want some fresh stuff. And I've got to try some things I'd never tried before in my life, like oysters. And I love them. Now, not raw ones. Ones that's been baked or charbroiled or something like that. You know, and they've added a bunch of stuff to them. And I like to enjoy it. And I just wonder, what are we going to be served when we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb? You know, y'all wouldn't, you know, I'm going to tell you this. If you're not a diabetic, you have no idea what I'm talking about. If you don't have high blood pressure, you have no idea what I'm talking about. If I eat a lot of sodium, my blood pressure goes up. And I love fried foods. And they will make your blood pressure go up with the sodium they put in that stuff. I love Oriental food, and it usually has a lot of sodium in that. But I love seafood. And if a place has got some good desserts, I like to try them. Even if I'm only going to get a bite. But I've realized if I eat early enough, I can usually compensate and be all right by the next morning. My blood sugar will still be all right. But if you don't have them problems and you can just eat whatever you want, I know we're not supposed to be envious. So I enjoy it. I'll tell you what, Brother Branham, it makes me feel better when I get off on something like that. Brother Branham said, sometimes you wonder why I got off the main route and started up this lane. He says, sometimes it's because not everybody's on the main road of what I'm preaching. So I got to go up this lane and get this person and bring them out to the road. Then I can go on with what I'm preaching. Brother Branham says in the mess of God's preparation, he says, Paul said, if you ain't got love, you ain't got nothing. If you ain't got love, you ain't got nothing. I'm going to tell you something. I love being around my family. I love being around y'all. I don't have any problem being around my family. Now, them that's Christians, I can go so far with them that aren't Christians, but then we've got different likes. For a long time, many years, my dad never took me to a Browning family reunion. And they had many of them. But Dad said, they can't have a reunion without somebody drinking. They got to have beer or something, or they can't have a reunion, so he wouldn't go. And they'd invite him, but he wouldn't go. Because they had something that they did not have in common. So you understand what I'm saying when I said, you know, my family is Christians. And you know what? If we're all supposed to be Christians, then we ought to be able to get along. That's what it would mean to love one another. We ought to be able to get along. Overlook one another's little differences. You know, my wife and I, you know, they say opposites attract. They can also, you know, if you're too opposite, you can never find a place to meet. But we're different from one another. She's backward and I'm not. She don't understand what it's like to not be backward, and I don't understand what it's like to be backward. But when she acts all backward, I don't look at her and say, what's wrong with you? That's just her makeup. That's how she is. We've got different makeups. Man, y'all are looking at me like I'm speaking a foreign language. I know I'm not. We got our differences. We can come out of the same family and have differences. Any of y'all that have very many children, who have raised very many children, you know they're not all alike. Some of them take after this side of the family, and some of them take after that side of the family, and some of them you have no idea what side of the family they took after. But we're all going to heaven. And we're all going to the same church. So we ought to be able to get along. Not say harsh things to one another, but say good things. Don't point out the faults. And for whatever you do, don't dig up the past. Leave that old man buried. I don't say this, to stick my chest out. But if I couldn't say this, it wouldn't look very good on me. But y'all have changed since I've come here. You're not the way I found you. And that's a good thing. Because if the Word of God can't change you, something's wrong. Either I'm not preaching the Word of God, or you're not taking it in. But I can say happily, there's been a change in all of us for the good. But he's not finished with us yet. That little song they sing, he's still working on me. He's still working on each and every one of us. But we got to have love. And friends, look, I'm going to tell you something. This might be news to you. But the Church of Dixon isn't the only church going to heaven. So you got to love people outside these doors too. You got to love people to go to other churches, other assemblies. I don't care whether they used to come here or not. You got to love them. Have love in your heart. Remember what the angel told Brother Branham when he went beyond the curtain of time? He said, only perfect love can enter here. And perfect love is agape love. Brother Branham says in the Message of God's Preparation, he says, the Bible says there'd come a time when there wouldn't even be love for one another, that father would be against mother and mother against father, children against parents, and the only love would be left would just be just between the elect. And that's about right. Love is a scarce thing today. Look at the divorce courts between husband and wife. Look at juvenile delinquency. Look at home breaks and everything. No love, no love. Seems like the only time you even know your neighbor's dead is when you read about it in the paper. That's about right. We don't know about one another no more. No love no more. Only real love will be left be among the elect. In Hebrews chapter 3, Brother Branham ministers and says, about the only religion and salvation we have and love is amongst the real godly people. Love will be so far away in the last days that the only love there will be left will be between the elect of God's people. Just the elect. Now we read the scripture where Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I loved you, and that you also have loved one another. By this shall all men know ye are my disciples, that you have love one for another. Amen. Brother Branham says in the Message of Children of Israel, he's quoting that scripture, and he says, by this will all men know you are my disciples, because you shake hands with one another. No. Because you belong to this church. No. Because you love one another. Is that right? Love for one another. All men will know you're my disciples if we do not have love one for another, then we cannot be his disciples. Now, like this, he goes on to say, God don't love one any more than he does the other. God don't love you more than he loves me, and he don't love me more than he loves you. He don't love this side of the church more than he loves that side of the church, or vice versa. God loves us all the same. And Now, sometimes in a family, you know, they'll say, well, so-and-so is the pick of the family, you know. And sometimes it's true, I guess, maybe. Sometimes it's not. But that's filial love. That's filial love. But agape love, God's love, he doesn't love one more than he does the other. He doesn't favor one more than he does the other. I've seen in families where they have several children, the youngest one will get away with murder. Because they know it's the baby. It's the last one. And the parents aren't as young as they were when the first one came along. And so then when the last one comes along, they've begun to change a little bit. And they've learned some. But sometimes they're easier on that young one. When Nate was little, getting him ready for school in the morning was something else. Nate never could find his stuff. If he called his gloves his hands. They'd say in the wintertime up in Ohio, he'd say, I can't find my hands. So you know what we'd do? We'd tell Jessica and John and Liddy, y'all help him find his gloves. I don't know where my jacket is. Y'all help him find it. He was the baby. He was the youngest. And I knew he was the last one. And so probably me more than my wife, I babied him. Because he was my baby boy. He was my last one. And then I met somebody, and I had to help him find his keys in the morning, and I'd had to help him do this and help him do that, and I said, man, I'm going to quit that with my young one. I do not want him to be 30 years old and everybody having to help him find his keys. But God don't have no young ones and old ones. It don't matter if you how young you are, how old you are, God loves you the same. And he treats you the same. He don't let one by with it and correct the other one for it. If God corrects one of us for something, he's going to correct everybody for that. In Ephesians 4:2, it says, with all lowliness and meekness and with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another in love. Forbearing, it means you can put up with. You can say, oh, well okay. We're not all the same. And sometimes when you get together, it's when those differences, how we're different, will show up. But it's all right. God didn't want us all the same. Brother Branham says he has a bouquet of people, like a bouquet of flowers. And he's made us different. And he's made us different colors. And people come from different nationalities. And we're different. You know, when I go visit other countries, I know I'm going to run into cultural differences. And I know I'm going to run into differences in food. If that bothers you, you would not want to go with me. Because that does not bother me. I enjoy seeing how other people live. And I enjoy trying new foods. I'm not saying everything I try I like, but most of it I do. And there's sometimes I try something and I'll say, yeah, that's pretty good. It doesn't mean I want it at home, but I could take it there. Some of the countries I go visit, they eat a lot of rice. They have rice with almost every meal. If you don't like rice, don't go with me, because you're going to be in a hurting. When I go to the Philippines, they have rice, and it ain't the same kind of rice everywhere. They have different ways of fixing it. I've even ate little cakes made of rice that look like pancakes, and they eat them with syrup on them. Very sweet. I ate that in the Philippines the very first time I went and ate it for breakfast. I've learned to be content. Brother Phil, he and I took a trip together. I never heard Brother Phil complain one time. Brother Phil just got up there and whatever we were doing, whatever we were eating, whatever was being served, just ate it. Went on, didn't complain about it. Learn to be content. Forbear with one another. The differences we have. Now, I've told you about some really contrast differences when you go to other countries. But you can have contrast and differences when you go to other regions in the United States. Not everybody eats the same. Some people eat a lot of what's called one-pot meals. Everybody's different. And God made us different. If you look at this, Brother Branham, and you might not think this quote goes along with this, but it does. Brother Branham says, he bred this one to that one to this one to that one to get you to where that certain ting was in the bell. So he might have had you raised up in one kind of community within one type of family in some region of this country with certain foods and different things because he wanted you that way. Don't criticize one another. Some people, not everybody can be like what I was describing when I go to other countries. Some of that I think I learned in the Army. You've got to learn to be content or you're going to be miserable. Isn't that right, Brother Phil? If all there is MREs, what are you going to do? You're going to eat them or you're going to go hungry. Many of y'all probably don't know what MREs are. You know, back in World War II, they had what they called sea rations. Then later on, you know, they come up with what they call meals ready to eat. And they come in a bag, a brown bag, usually. And inside are little green packages. Each thing is packaged individual. And you learn to be able to eat that. Some of it you learn to eat it cold because you don't always have opportunity to heat it up. So you learn to eat it as is. Maybe that's why I'm the way I am when it comes to, you know, trying different things. I liked sweets, Brother Wayne. And when we'd be in the field, you know, or when I was over in the Gulf, we didn't have no sweets. But they had these little crackers that would come in them MREs. And sometimes you would get a package of peanut butter in there with it. And I would take that peanut butter and I would spread it on top of that cracker. And it always was a packet of sugar in there. And I'd take that packet of sugar and sprinkle it over top of the peanut butter, you know, and have me something sweet. And if I was where we could warm it up, it was real good. I could melt that peanut butter and sugar on there. You learn to do. And if I didn't like what it was, I'd seen if somebody else liked what I had, and I'd trade with them. I don't know if we had the exact same kinds of meals, Brother Phil, but one that I really didn't like was chicken a la king. That was it, what? That was like eating snot. But I learned, if that's all I had, I learned to go ahead and stomach it down and eat it. But maybe you've never had to go through them things. But I can tell you this, I know right now, some of y'all grew up poor. My daddy grew up poor. Daddy said the only time they got chicken was on Sundays. That's the only time they got meat. You know, them being from West Virginia, it was pinto beans and fried potatoes and cornbread. And they got that a lot. And if they got meat, it was on Sunday. And my dad said growing up, he never knew a chicken had a breast. Because he never got that piece. Grew up poor. He didn't have a change of clothes. You know, I've seen some of my kids go through 5 different outfits trying to get ready for church in the morning. My daddy didn't have that. He had 1 pair of breeches. Grew up poor. If you grew up poor and then you get to where you have a little better, then you know the difference. I know Brother Jim knows what I'm talking about. I've talked to him before. I know how he grew up. But no matter what, you got to learn to be content. Hebrews says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. In other words, do something that'll make that person project love back. And you know how you get someone to project love back is project love to them. Now, I know we've taught that Jesus projected love to the rich young ruler and he didn't project the same love back. And you can run into that. But I'm talking amongst Christians. We're supposed to be Christians together. We ought to be able to project love one to another. Peter says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. That unfeigned means without hypocrisy. I have had people that I know didn't care for me for one reason or the other and said things against me. And then when I would see them out somewhere, they come up and put their arm around me and pat me on the back. Oh, it's so good to see you, Brother Jerry. I love you, brother. That was love with hypocrisy. People are two-faced like that. Brother Branham said, he gets around people and they'll shake his hand and say, I love you, Brother Branham. He said, don't take me long to find out whether they do or not. He said, you can sense it. I went and visited one place one time. And a brother come up to me like that, pat me on the back like that, you know, and just going on about me. And I was thinking, man, I sure hope you ain't got a knife in that hand. That's love with hypocrisy. We're supposed to have unfeigned love for one another. Not act like we love you to your face and talk about you behind your back. That's what I'm getting at. Peter also says, finally be all of one mind, having compassion one for another. Love as brethren, be pitiful. Be courteous. Be courteous to one another. Be pitiful. In other words, have some understanding. Be able to sympathize with somebody. Be able to have some empathy for someone. You know, when you will call me up as your pastor and you're telling me about something you're going through or telling me about something a loved one's going through or telling me about something that's happening in your family or something. Well, if I acted indifferent, like, you wouldn't be long, you wouldn't be calling me anymore. But I've got to have compassion. And Brother Branham said, if you want your prayers to be successful, put yourself in that person's shoes. If you put yourself in that person's shoes, then you can pray for one another and your prayer be successful. He also said it this way. He said, when somebody's up here being prayed for, think about if that was your child. Think about if that was your wife or husband or your daddy or mommy. He said, then you can be in prayer while you're sitting out there. Be pitiful, be courteous, have compassion one for another. Amen. Well, I've got a lot more, but I'm going to have to close. And we'll have another message on this. I've got a whole new part that I studied out that I never even got to touch on today. And let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Lord, I just felt to close, Lord. I realized, God, that there's been a lot put out there and that we're human. We can only contain so much at a time. Lord, when I see that it's going to actually take a different turn, then I just feel, Lord, just to go ahead and close. Lord, but I ask, God, that the things that's been said this morning, may we, Father, take them to our hearts, God. Lord, to love one another as we should, to treat one another the way we should, to bless, be a blessing one to another, not a discouragement, but an encouragement, to encourage one another, provoke one another to love. Lord, I pray, God, that, Father, I want us to make it. I want us to go to that place, God, where it takes perfect love to get to. Lord, I've just felt so impressed to preach on this subject of love. Not knowing when I first wrote down a little note to myself, when the thought came to me, Lord, I didn't know how far it would go or that it would even last as long as it has. But just following your leading, dear God, And I pray through these messages, God, may we continue to grow in this way, Lord. I believe, God, according to what it says in the Bible, that one of the most important things is love. Paul says, though we'd speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, we have nothing. Lord, you said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples. You have love one for another. Love is the most important thing. And the Bible didn't say just God loves, but it said God is love. You're the personage of love. And Lord, if we have the Holy Spirit, then we'll have the person of love in our heart and be able to have the right kind of love one for another. Lord, that you've showed us love by giving us your Spirit. Hallelujah. I ask your blessings on your people today. And I give you praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.